In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks to John, we get to listen in as Jesus prays to his Father. It is the night he institutes his supper, the night he is betrayed, the night before he would go to the cross. He prays aloud, surrounded by his disciples. His prayer is called the high priestly prayer because he is the high priest who offers up the sacrifice that is once and for all. This sacrifice is at hand. Jesus prayed to his Father for his disciples. Then he says this, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Though you weren't even born, that very night Jesus prayed for you. Our Lord is greater than even we realize. In fact, our Lord still prays for you. That's what a high priest does. He offers prayers and intercessions for you ceaselessly before the throne of his Father." As he prays, Jesus says that those who believe in him will believe through his disciples' word. "I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word." The disciples' word, spoken and written, will bring people to faith in Jesus and keep them in the one true faith. The very word of these disciples has been preserved for us in the Holy Scriptures and in the mouths of men faithful to those Scriptures. It is this word that has the power to create faith and the power to unite us together in one. But those who reject this word, those who will not believe this word, will cause disunity. That is the real reason for division within Christ's church. People will hear the word of God and read the word of God, but instead of believing it, they will seek to interpret his plain words away. They will listen to the twisted interpretations of scholars and exegetes, just as Eve listened to the serpent interpret God's word. As if God's word wasn't perfectly clear in itself. This is one of the greatest lies of our own day, that God doesn't know how to speak plainly to his own creatures. If that's true, how will you ever believe that he has forgiven you? No, his word says what it says and means what it says. Our high priest prays for us that we would be one with his disciples, that we would have no other doctrine than what they teach. Doctrine divides, some people say. The Scriptures say, for the time will come when people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. The sad divisions within Christendom are only sad because men hear God's word and reject God's word and divide what Christ himself would unite into one. They are faithful only insofar as it suits their own desires. But Jesus was faithful to the Father in everything. And thanks be to God, he was faithful for us. Today, much of the church is talking about how to be more missional, and how to do more evangelism. Many think that doctrinal unity is secondary to outreach, or even a hindrance to outreach. Jesus teaches the opposite. He prays that we would all be one. Why? So that the world may believe in him. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also might be in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. Why does Jesus pray that we may be one with his disciples, one with him, and one with his Father, so that the world may believe? Doctrine doesn't divide. Doctrine unites. Doctrinal unity isn't a hindrance to mission. Doctrinal unity is for the sake of mission. That they all may be one, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. There is no one more missional than Jesus. No one more interested in evangelism than Jesus. And Jesus insists on doctrinal purity and doctrinal unity, that we might be one with his disciples and one with him. For he is faithful to the Father in all things. In the same way, he sends his disciples out into the world, not to compromise with the world, but to be faithful. He sends them with the glory that God has given him, so that they may be one. The glory that God gave to Jesus was the cross. And so Jesus puts the word of the cross upon his disciples' lips. You may think that your glory consists of your knowledge or your wealth, your personality or your uniqueness, but all such glory fades to nothing. The glory that does not fade, the glory given to you, is to have the word of Christ the crucified on your lips, to be faithful unto death, and to receive the crown of life. There is no compromise in Jesus, only faithfulness. He would have the same from us. So he prays, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." Did you just hear what our high priest said? The Father loves you as the Father loves his own dear Son. With what infinite love does the Father love the Son? He loves you with the very same. Therefore, let God's love lead you to confess your sins to him. Not just the sins of your flesh, but the sins of your heart and soul as well. Confess that God's word matters. Confess your apathy toward his word, your indifference to false teaching, your tolerance of those who tear apart the church of Christ with their lies and deceits. Confess the cowardice that makes you hold your tongue, the excuses you make for not speaking up, the weakness in your flesh that makes you seek superficial peace at the cost of divine truth, the praise of men instead of the faithfulness to God. Faithfulness is what took Jesus to the cross. Where will faithfulness take you? Make your confession to your Father because he does love you. And if he loves you, then you are safe. Pray that your Father would give you and all his people, especially in this day and age, to proclaim his word boldly as we ought, to be faithful no matter what the cost, to fight the good fight, knowing that many within the church will hate us. But our aim is to please God and not men. And yes, it's okay to want to please God. People will hate you. Even Christians will curse your name and gossip about you. But nothing can separate you from the Father's love, which is in Christ Jesus. You have God's own word, God's own promise on that. Your high priest has won God's love for you. Your high priest has made the sacrifice for you. Your high priest has sacrificed his own spotless body and his own sinless blood to God in atonement, not just for some of your sins, for all of your sins. You are forgiven. You are righteous in your Father's sight. You are safe. Your high priest stands interceding for you even now. And so you are loved by the Father, loved just as he loves his own dear Son. Our high priest prays this for you. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. There's simply nothing to add to our high priest's prayer. He prays that we will be with him forever. And soon enough, we will see his prayer answered in full. There's nothing to add to our high priest's prayer save what our high priest himself adds. The very same night that he prayed these things and prayed for you, he gave us his supper so that he might truly be in us, so that we might truly be in him. Even now, a foretaste of that bliss which is certain to come. For in his supper we eat his body and we drink his blood, as he himself says, and therefore we are one with him. And being one with him, we are one with one another. One in his love, one in his word, one in his forgiveness, one holy Christian church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.